We're going to talk a little bit about why our kids are in church, but overall, like in big church with us, but overall, I want to talk about the partnership between parents and the church. So that's the overall what we're looking at. But let's just call it like it is. Children are active. They're loud. They often behave inappropriately. Children often do not understand the subtlety, and therefore, when you quietly attempt to correct them, they say inappropriate things back very loudly in the middle of church. Why did you say that, Mom? Children have a vocabulary smaller than that of adults. Children have shorter attention spans. Children find the sermon boring. Children grow into middle school students, of whom all those things just mentioned seem to still be true, but now they've acquired the skill of rolling their eyes. High school students have longer attention spans, as demonstrated by their ability to spend hours upon hours focused on a small rectangular device called a cell phone. Unfortunately, this longer attention span has not generalized to listening to adults, and it's difficult to pry the cell phone from their grasp. Yet, with all those things being true, at Covenant Presbyterian, the session has decided, and I agree, that these people should be in big church service with us. That's what I call the service. John referred to it last week as adult service, but it's not the adult service. It's all of us. So it's the big service. I call it big church. And the question is, why would the session decide such a thing, right? Especially because here we are. We're selfish people, and children and adults are included in that. We think that our needs and our preferences should be central to the way anything is done, including church. And for the past several years as a culture, I think we've just reinforced that idea more and more. We're an entertainment culture. Thousands of TV channels are now available to us. Like when I was a kid, you only got the ones on the rabbit ears, you know, and if you stood just right. And then often you watched it through snow, but today you the pixel thing. We have music that suits every personality, and this drives me crazy. In our car, we can be listening to the radio, and the moment a commercial comes on, we have to flip to another station. I mean, not me, but the kids, like, or a song they don't like. It's like constant flipping, like just leave the station on. But no, we've got this culture, we got to get what we want right away. So we come to church with that background, and we come like, what will I get out of worship today? But worship on Sunday morning is not an experience, it's what we do unto the Lord. Worship is a verb, and it's what we do. So we've got all this difficulty, and yet we're still wanting to worship as families and have these little people, these middle school people in high school. You know, there are a lot of churches that have programs for your littles. You come in, they don't even come into the sanctuary. You have stations and you sign in your littles in one place, your middle school another place, and even high school. I've heard of one high school student who had a beautiful voice, and the church asked her to sing a solo at Christmas time, and she had never stepped into the sanctuary before. So we've become very much each generation, each age, worshiping on their own. But we have several reasons that we are not doing that. One, we want to train our children from the very youngest of ages that Sunday morning worship is all about God, not all about themselves, not about their preferences. No matter when the transition from nursery or children's church or whatever program is into big church, it's going to be a struggle. So if you put it off till middle school, you know, you've got programs all the way up through elementary, I'm telling you, it's still going to be a struggle. Putting it off, really from my own experience, only makes the struggle greater because they've got ingrained more that Sunday morning is about themselves and age appropriate and entertainment. So what we have with church having these programs, you have kids now that go off to college and they don't know how to worship with the community. And then we wonder why they don't want to go to church. They've always been with their same age peers, and here they come into this strange thing that may not meet their preferences. But here's the thing. We do this anyway because growth happens in the midst of challenge. So yes, the sermon's over our little people's heads, but that's where growth happens. When you're in school and you're learning something, the new material is too hard for you, but you're exposed and you're taught, and then you stretch and grow. So the same thing happens. This thing is not around our children's developmental stage, but they learn and they grow into it because we're teaching them this time is about God, not about you. A second reason, Scripture shows a normative pattern of all ages worshiping together. You look throughout Scripture, and there's not a mention of children being separated from adults for the worship time. When Jesus was speaking to the crowds, it's clear from many passages there were children present. In John 6, we are told that it was a boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Normative now, it doesn't mean that it would be sinful for us to have children's church. We do have children's church for the littles. It's not sinful what these other churches are doing. We just don't think it's wise. We don't think that Scripture shows that as the pattern. So that's the second reason. Reason three, and there are more than the ones I have here, but our children are members of the covenant community. Sunday morning worship is the primary activity in which the covenant community engages altogether. Why would we exclude our children from corporate worship when that's the primary call? Reason four, we want our children to experience the ordinary means of grace, hearing the preached word, observing the sacraments, singing God's praises, taking part in corporate prayer. We don't want them to miss that. Is it hard for them? Yes. Growth happens where there's challenge. Reason five, our children benefit from being with Christians of various ages. They can look, they see the faith that we are working on, and they see that there are families with older kids and younger kids. They see college students here. They see grandmas and grandpas here. They see single people. They see married people. They see all these different things, and they learn, oh, this is not just my crazy mom and dad's idea. This is a whole community that loves Jesus, that's following Christ. I have all these people part of my family, and they understand the breadth of the covenant community. Now, here's where I'm going to get a little bit uncomfortable, okay? So you might need to curl your toes up, but worshiping the Lord as a family unit reinforces that Christ is central in the home. You keep hearing me say this in other times, Christ must be central, Christ must be central. Well, because Christ is the head of the church, if Christ is central in your home, then the church is central in your home as well. That's the family unit is one cell of the body. And so we need to have corporate worship as something that we build upon, that our child see. They're watching the parents model participation in corporate worship. John Piper, this is one of my favorite quotes, so I put it at the bottom of your notes. The greatest stumbling block for children in worship is that their parents do not cherish the hour. Children can feel the difference between duty and delight. Therefore, the first and most important job of a parent is to fall in love with the worship of God. You can't impart what you don't possess. When I first read that, I cried because I thought, oh, do I really cherish the worship of the Lord on Sunday morning? How often had I said in the presence of my children, oh, we have to get up early, better go to bed now, sorry, turning off the movie because we got to go to church in the morning. So that reading that quote caused me to assess some of these things, and so maybe it's these, I suggest humbly that these might be some things you need to assess. What is your attitude on Saturday night? Are you planning ahead? Is there an eagerness as you speak to your children? You know, even if your attitude isn't quite lined up yet, part of having a good attitude is making the decision to have good actions, you know, and sometimes your attitude starts to follow, which is a beautiful thing. So you might be tempted to say, oh, we got to go to bed. Or you might say, oh, tomorrow is worship. I want to be rested and refreshed to hear from God's word. We're going to worship together. So just in changing the way you speak to your children, even if your heart isn't there yet, making those good choices in the way you express it and teaching your heart to obey what's right is part of it. So what activities, you might ask yourself too, tend to trump church attendance? If one of you just feels a little like, oh, I got a little bit of a sneeze, maybe I won't go. Or are you like, no, I have a little bit of a cold, but I'm going to sit in the back because we cannot miss church. We cannot miss the worship of the Lord. I do not want to miss the time with God's covenant people. So sports or travel. Here's the thing. There are so many Christians involved in sports on Sundays. I think if all of us would stand up and say, we want to be a part of this program, but we can't on Sundays, I think there are so many Christians in that program, I think they would change their schedule. I just toss that out there. Because we want our children to know this is so important, the gathering of God's covenant people on Sunday. This is the primary thing. Our whole life and the rhythm of our life is centered around Christ and around church attendance. That's just part of what the church does. So if we don't make that a beautiful part of the week in our own hearts and esteem it before our children, why are we surprised when they go off to college and don't attend church? Is our first allegiance to our pleasure, or is our first allegiance to Christ and his people? So, and what is happening during the service in your heart? Do your children get to hear you singing robustly, even if not so beautifully? Are you looking at the sermon notes? Are you taking notes? Are you reading the Bible verse? What's happening during our corporate time of repentance? Is that the time that you take to whisper or look at the bulletin? Or do your children see you actively searching your heart? Are you putting your arm around them and saying, honey, let's remember what happened last week? I am so sorry about that. And having that little moment of repentance with them. Daddies, you are your little boy's hero. Are your sons learning that worshiping God is manly? Parents, your children are watching. Doing the hard work of engaging in the service for you will increase your love of Sunday morning service. I say that from experience. When my children were younger, it was so much work. I didn't always cherish the Sunday morning hour, and that I was convicted, as I shared with you. And so I did the hard work of repenting and training my heart to speak well of Sunday morning, to engage, to do that. And as I did the work, my emotions and heart followed. And I want to encourage you in that too. So just, you know, if you don't love church a lot, pray and ask the Lord to help you love church more, because he delights in answering that kind of prayer. And as you love church, you are modeling for your children the beauty of God's people and of corporate worship. So you can unroll your toes a little. So moving from why we're doing this corporate worship with our children in big church, why we have intergenerational worship, I also happen to have some practical hints for you because I know this is a challenge. So some of these practical hints are aimed for littles, but oftentimes I find that they're really helpful for middle school and above too. So worship prep doesn't start Sunday morning. It really starts at Sunday night of the next, but really thinking of it on Friday and Saturday. I bet a lot of you have family night sometime during the week. I would encourage you to try to make it on a Friday rather than a Saturday so that you can stay up a little bit later and make that special and then sleep in just a little bit on Saturday so that Sunday isn't as rough. It's not that it's wrong to have family night on Saturday night. It's just something to think about. You get your All About Sunday emails almost always on Friday, sometimes on Thursday, maybe twice on Saturday. But you all are going to eat sometime during the weekend before Sunday. If you can gather as a family, go ahead, dad especially, mom if needed, have that bulletin read, that All About Sunday email read, and then that night or afternoon or whenever you're gathered for lunch, read the Bible verse and say, hey, guess what? We're going to be singing these songs. And if you're able to, you know, the lyrics are printed out on that too. You can click on and get the lyrics to the songs. Sing one of the songs, especially if you have littles that can't read as quickly as we sing. Help them learn at least the chorus or the first verse. But this is something, if you establish the habit when your kids are little, it's easy peasy beneasy. If you wait till you've got middle school and high schoolers, it's harder to come in. It's still worth saying the worship of God is so important. We're going to go ahead and prepare our hearts. And son or daughter, I'm sorry we didn't do this when you were younger, but you are so treasured and God is so important that we're going to start this hard thing now and just start reading the Bible verse. If you have younger ones that are just learning to read, and give them a sentence or two of the scripture passage to read for the family, when we read that in corporate worship, they're going to be like, that was my verse, I read that. Their eyes light up because there's ownership in that. Look over the bulletin when you get to church, or even before, because, you know, the bulletin will be mailed to you, and explain what the order of worship. Oh, we're going to do this song. We're going to have the time of repentance. Do you guys remember what the time of repentance is for? Why do we do it, read of repentance, and then do it a quiet time? Talk about those things. So there's an understanding. It's a lot easier to participate in something that you understand than something that's never been explained to you. So you don't have to explain the whole order of worship on one day. Just take something. This week we're going to talk about this. Next week we'll talk about this. And over time you're building that pattern. You can do this even with your high school kids. You know, do you ever feel awkward when we have that time of repentance? Or have you ever wondered what the call to worship is? You know, just talk to them about that. You may be surprised, or they may be like my kids, too much, but you know, that's okay. As a family, when you're saying grace, think about, and I keep saying when you're saying grace because that's a time we come together, but it doesn't have to be. It can be at bedtime, it can be in the morning, it can be any time, it can be driving in the car, but it's the intentionality that we're looking for. Pray for the church service, pray for the worship leader, the preaching pastor, their Sunday school teachers, the children's volunteers, the greeters, people visiting, pray for the church. Just pray. Pray for the giving, all those things. Let that be part of something. Oh, we pray for our family. We pray for Aunt Louise. We pray for our church family. And then This is very simple, and this is something that should be done like all the way through, like even for old people. Lay out your clothes the night before church, right? Because how many of you start to run late yourselves because you realize what you were thinking about wearing is either in the laundry or whatever? Just lay them out the night before. It's not that big a deal. It helps everybody. So lay out your clothes, get the church bags by the door with the Bible, notebook, pen, sharp pencils, all that kind of stuff. I like to put the twist up crayons in the bag. I know we have these crayons, but sometimes they run out and they break. Those twist up crayons are really nice even for middle school kids. They like those. Think about having a clipboard. Possibly stickers that may be a good idea for some and a bad idea for others. One thing that's nice about little stickers is that they can use them and stick them on the bulletin as we go through each thing. So you can check mark or they can bulletin. They're learning about the order of worship and they're engaging in that. Oh, look, we just said that prayer. So, and get to bed early the night before. I already kind of hinted about that. Now, Sunday morning, all these little helpful hints I'm giving you that you've probably thought about, but I'm just saying them just because we all need to be reminded. Get up early on Sunday morning and pretend that church actually starts at 8:15. Or if you come to second service, pretend that Sunday school starts at 9:45 or that the service starts at 10. Just pretend that. Like, convince yourself of that. Like, really think that it's true. So that when you're leaving the house a little bit late, but it's not really late, you're like, oh, we got to get there. Really convince yourself this is true. Okay? So that you really actually start to arrive at 8:15, a whole world of wonder opens up to you when you get to church on time. It's amazing. Because if you're planning and you're getting up early, then you can have breakfast together as a family. Now, I suggest that Sunday morning breakfast should be special because Sunday is the most important time of most important day of the week. So instead of being rushed cramming a Pop-Tart in your mouth, none of you probably even have Pop-Tarts in your house, rushed putting granola in your mouth, then you actually sit down and you have something special. Now, it doesn't have to be fancy. It could be one of those casseroles that you did Saturday night, remember, because we were preparing Saturday night, that you put in the oven, or a crock pot oatmeal. If your family cannot bear such things like that, like mine, we always did the popping, you know, the things you peel and you pop with a spoon, and they're the cinnamon rolls, and they take 15 minutes. And so before I get dressed, I pop that and put them out and put them in, and they smelling so good, motivating to get ready, and everybody comes down because we never had those any other day of the week, right? That was Sunday, a special day. We don't eat, really, I don't have Pop-Tarts most of the time, I promise. And so for them to have something sweet like that on Sunday morning, it was like, wow, Sunday is a sweet day of worship. So just, I would encourage you, make Sunday morning breakfast like that because you're getting up so early because you've gone to bed and prepared Saturday. It's just really special. Say a quick word of prayer in the car on the way. Affirm your children. Isn't that hard on Sunday morning on the way to church? Like, that is the hardest time. Why did you take so long? Why did you stop that? But she's like, I am so glad, even though sometimes this is hard. I'm not saying pretend it's easy all the time, but say, you know what, you guys, even though this is hard, I am so glad we're going to church as a family. I am glad you guys are with me. This is awesome that we're a family together. Yeah, we fight. Yes, I know we just spilled. I know we had the diaper blowout. But here we are together. This is a good thing. So try to turn that tide. Affirm your children. So there's this sense of celebration. Church is a good thing. It's not like, oh, man, we got to get there. Come on. You know, which I have done that. But just remind them that. So arrival. If you have to check in, children, if you're here at 8:15, there is no line at the check-in place, you know, where you check your children in. Now, those of you with middle school and high schoolers don't need to worry about that. But getting here early, like I said, opens up a world of wonder. There are the best older people that are here early on Sunday and you get to chat with them and introduce your children to them. That is fabulous. It's a world of wonder at 8:15 here on a Sunday morning, I'm telling you. Guess what? Before you go into church, if you're here early, all of your kids can actually use the bathroom before church. And that's a wonderful thing because I know that all of them, almost, unless they're being potty trained, can sit through an hour of church without having to go to the bathroom. I know that I can even do that. And so if I'm here early and use the restroom beforehand, then I know I have this time set aside and you don't lose your children in the middle of church. Because you know what? A lot of them use the excuse of having to go to the bathroom as a break to wander. You know how I know this? I work here on Sunday mornings and I see it. So now, a little caveat to that, if you have a child with special needs or ADHD or any of those kind of things, they may need that break in the middle of the day. And I'm not judging a single one of them that are wandering. So they may need that little bit of a time. Then you're being purposeful. But the point is that you're purposeful in preparing for worship, okay? Here's one other thing. Always have tissues and mints in your bag. Just a little hint, because somebody is going to have something yucky come out and somebody is going to have bad breath. So just always have those things. That's just part of preparing for worship. I know that's not in the Bible. That's just helpful hints. So another thing, now you've gotten to church early and this world of wonder has opened to you. So you're going into the sermon. So you get your notes and you get your bulletins. And when you're early, they never are run out yet. And I would encourage even high schoolers and middle schoolers that need to grab the children's sermon notes. I know some high school students that do that, and it's okay. I will print more if we run out, you know? And let them pick both the younger and the older. We don't have to go, no, you're older now, you know, to the younger ones that are in that bridge. Because if they need two of them to fill out during the service, that is fine. They're attending to something. We're training them to attend. We're training their attention spans to increase. So you get the sermon notes and the bulletins, whichever sermon notes, whether it's the adults or the children's or the little ones, and you bring them in and you find seats and get situated. And know ahead, if you have a big family, plan ahead who's going to sit by whom. So you may need to go parent, child, child, or maybe it's better if you're parent, child, parent, but know ahead of time so they don't go, I want to sit by mom. No, you've already got that figured out. Your turn to sit by mommy is next week. We already know this. So anything, being purposeful and thinking ahead will just bless the whole church community. So now here's another suggestion. I think if you have especially little people, you sit near the front. Because just think about this. When everybody stands up during times, what is a child's view? They're seeing everybody's rear end. So sit near the front. It lessens the amount of rear ends they have to see. They also can see the stage. They can see somebody playing the guitar. They can see the piano. They can see what's going on. And we want them engaged, not entertained, but they're engaged with God's people and the leaders. So that's a good thing. And you know, if you need to kick off the shoes of your child, that is fine. Take their shoes off and have them stand on the seat beside you because we want them to be able to see and engage. I suggest that people with teens that you sit kind of in the middle of the place. You don't want to sit in the back. It's too easy to disengage. So if you have teens, kind of sit in the middle. And I would encourage you to sit with families of other youth, because then you get to know these families, your kids are building relationship. There's nothing wrong with your kids sitting with a friend, but we still want them in the family unit. So I just suggest that you guys go ahead and try to sit with family friends, and then your children are learning all the more about the covenant family, and yet you're there to shepherd them. And I, like I said, just don't sit in the back unless you have an infant that you know will need to sneak out. But just the back, that's off limits. Nobody wants to sit there anyway. Even if you're shy, really, you want to be up with God's people. So you're into the service. Look over the notes quickly and explain what to do. Like, it, look at the directions. Look at what main ideas are coming apart, and explain to your children what to look for during the service. And then put the notes away, because it irritates me when I see them having used them by the first song, because then they weren't engaging with the worship and they're really to help them with the sermon. So now you know a pet peeve of mine. But really, just go ahead and put those away so that they can engage in the singing and the prayer and time. And then when the sermon comes out, bring out the notes. And so during the service, our goal with our kids is engagement, not silence. Now, yes, I want them to be respectful, but we don't mind a little bit of noise if you're training your kids. Can you hold up Parenting in the Pew? Parenting in the Pew is in the book nook, several copies. If you have elementary age kids, you just should get it. So that will give you lots of hints. Thank you. We want them to be respectful, but not soldier-like, you know, like the beef eaters in front of Buckingham, where you go, ah, and they're just, and don't respond at all. We want our kids responding or listening or whispering with us in the sermon. That's okay in the service. So we want them respectful, quiet, but not silent. Let a child use the bulletin during worship. Just they can check things off as it happens. They can understand the flow of worship. Have them stand and sit. You know, we stand and sit a lot. That is great for little kids. That is great for our younger kids because it gives them something to do. So let them stand and sit, but require them to stand and sit too. When we're doing the Bible verse, get your Bible out and run your finger over the words as your child follows. Older children, encourage them to run their fingers to show, you know, those upper elementary, to run their fingers over the words. Have the children, since you're getting here so early, have the children go ahead and look up in the Bible the passage and mark it so it's ready, so that when they open, you know, because you're here early, you plan ahead that way. So great. Told you, world of wonder. Let's see. Smile at your children during the service. Even your high schoolers, they really like it. They don't like to admit it, but when you smile at them, it feels good. So also, we have family sign language. I was telling you a little bit, I hinted about that earlier, so that you don't have to whisper those like shh kind of things. There are certain signs. You're doing a good job. Cut it out. I mean, you guys know that you can all have certain family signs so that you can give them encouragement and feedback without causing a lot of problem. We actually all know sign language to a little bit, and my girls and I fingerspell frequently, you know, so that's quiet and we can give each other that encouragement. I said to use the sermon notes. Write in the notebook. What should you write in the notebook? You can write down prayer needs, announcements, but your kids can also do things like write down what their favorite song was, so you can ask them about that later. The instruments that were played, who led in prayer, who's preaching, anything to get your child engaged. Have them write it down in this notebook instead of just sitting there or making the little dot thing where you make the squares and then put your name in. I'm not saying you should never do that, but it's better if we can give them other things to do. So have them draw a picture of the sermon. Sometimes it's really hard to draw a picture of the sermon. So have them write something that stuck out to them. They can even say, this is really a long sermon, and write it down in the notebook. And then you can talk about, why do you think he took so long? What do you think was important that he had to talk about? There's going to come a time when a child can no longer attend to the sermon at all. It's going to happen. So here are some things they can do. They could just write down the Bible verse that is in, make it look as nice as possible, decorate it. They can draw a picture of anything in the church. If they drew pictures of the solas, you could talk, you know, we usually have those sola banners up. You know what else they can do? they can count how many children they see in the congregation, or how many ladies have ponytails, or how many men are wearing ties. See, you're sitting in the front. If you're on the side in the front, you can see everybody in the congregation. And so they're going to count those things. And I know it's not the sermon, but they're already, they can't attend anyway. At least they're getting to know God's people, right? So you can count that. Pick one person that they don't know. Have them find somebody they don't know, describe them, and ask them to pray for that person all week long. Imagine how exciting it is when they actually like run into that person at Thanksgiving meal. They're like, oh, what's your name? You know, I've been praying for you. I know none of our kids are actually going to say that, but they might think it, right? So look around the church. Find three people and that you know and write their name down. You're going to pray for them. So you get it? You see what I'm saying? There's going to be a time that they can't attend anymore. Even I get to that point, don't you, sometimes? And so at least I can look at God's people and say, oh, Lord, I remember so-and-so's going through such and such. We're training our children to engage with God's people. Are you exhausted yet? Because I could talk about this a long time. And I know that John likes to do interactive things, but I'm going on sabbatical. I have to dump all of this out right now. So now we have that time when we do take our children to nursery and children's church and Sunday school. Even if you're past this point, you guys can step in and encourage other parents with these things. When you take your children to the nursery, it's not just a time to play with toys and hear stories, but they're going to be with God's people, and they're going to hear about Jesus, and they're going to know that these people there love them and are part of this church family. So when you're walking your child there, don't say, let's go have fun now, because what did you just say about big church, right? Instead, you're walking them in here. You're going to be with another part of God's family. We're so excited. Please don't ask your children when you pick them up from children's church or Sunday school, did you have fun? Because that's not the point, right? All of this is about God. So the problem is if you say, did you have fun? The expectation that they're having now is that they're going to be entertained. Now, you know what? We are so fun here at Covenant. You know, they are going to have fun, but we want them to have the expectation where when they're going to little people's activities and programs that this is all about God. And it's not necessarily fun, but it's good. It's good, and you're being fed. So help them to be eager to go. And if they are eager, praise them for wanting to hear God's word. If a child is reluctant to go, affirm them that I am so glad you feel comfortable with mommy and daddy. And here's the decision for you. You can either say, it is great to have you stay with mommy and daddy in big church or in our Sunday school class. You are welcome to stay with us if you have the maturity to handle that. That's a really special thing. So I wouldn't discourage that, but if you know that they don't have that maturity, then you affirm them by saying, this is something for you later. So if they can't sit with you in a Sunday school class like this, then you say, you know what? There is something just for you, and we're going to have you go because later you have these other things. But affirm them both in their desire to stay with you, but also in their desire to go to other things. I would encourage you, though, and I have heard this many times, and I don't know which one of you have said it, so don't think, but when parents are trying to get their children to go to nursery or Sunday school, they can sometimes say, you're just going to be bored if you stay with me. No, don't say that, because then what are they going to think when they have to be with you at first grade? So instead, couch it more in terms of, I don't think you're ready to attend. To pay attention, that's what you're really going to say, because they'll go, attend. What kind of that? So now let me just really, really quickly, in my 8 minutes that I have, and I'm going to use every 8 minutes because I'm going on sabbatical. Okay, so this is more about linking other church activities and your home. So when you go to pick up your child from Sunday school class, whether they're littles or big, you often get this for a response. What did you learn today? Mm-hmm. Right? Well, I just want to encourage you that even high schoolers sometimes have a hard time synthesizing to explain to you what they've learned. If you go home when your husband's been sick and he says to you, what was the sermon about? I often go, let me get the notes. Because I can't synthesize it either. So don't think that your kids haven't learned something just because they go, They have. They have learned something. And we have so many ways of helping you learn what they are learning. So if you've got littles, in the bulletin, we have the lesson of the day for early childhood. We also have it posted in the hallway with a follow-up question for you to ask them at home. How awesome is that to link family and home? We make crafts not because we love glitter. Actually, there are only two crafts that we have left with glitter, just so you know. But not just because we are trying to fill time, but because when a child brings home that little thing, you can talk about the lesson and what they learned, and it gives them something concrete to remember. And then there are those take-home papers, you know, the ones that are on your van floor. What if instead Sunday lunch involved kids sharing their Sunday papers? What if Sunday night bedtime routine involved looking at last week's take-home papers, that was part of the whole routine Saturday night? They review last week's lesson, so they're ready for the next. What if you use the take-home papers for family devotionals? What if you put the papers in a folder or a binder all year long, and when you went on vacation, instead of showing a movie, or in addition to showing the movie as you travel, they got to review those papers and fill out the puzzles and things? What if? What if? We've changed our policy now. We used to just like give the papers if they were there, or if they weren't, they missed it. Now every child in elementary school has a folder with their name on it and all the papers are ready. So if they miss a day, like I've got them all ready, I could take out the winter semester and give them to you right now. Of course, we want them in class. But just so you know, we want every child to have those papers so that you can shepherd your children well. Talk to the teacher or assistant when you pick them up and thank them. Know their names. Have children write thank you notes. You write thank you notes. What happens to a child's heart when they write a thank you note to somebody that's been shepherding them? Isn't that good for their heart? And it's good for yours. Other ways to connect, to make that family and church connection, come to the activities. Just come. The picnics, the fall festival, skating this Thursday night, talent shows, meals. Help your child find a place of service in the church. We've got choir. I have seen people after first service go through and pick up the bulletins and the trash that's around there. And then the same thing after second service. A kid and a dad could do that. Have your child, if they see something on the floor, pick it up. Like, do that model. This is our church. This is our family. This is our home here. This is ours together. A greeting and ushering is a great place that families could serve together. Children's church, if you have older kids, is a really fun mom, dad, and a middle school and high school kid take a classroom one Sunday a month. And it's really fun. We've had some families that have done that all the way up through. Have them come to service Saturdays. Have them help set up and take down. Find out who the shut-ins in our church and have them write letters to them. Have them draw pictures for the missionaries. Go to VBS. Serve in the after-school program. Pray for a Bible club. Why? Because Christ is the head of the body, and we are part of that body, and our children are our covenant children. They are a part of this church, and they're not junior parts. They are equal heirs of the covenant. Can you hold up heirs of the covenant? Here are a few more must-reads. Heirs of the Covenant in the Book Nook. Fabulous book. Fabulous book. Okay. You can hold that one up. Just Cause, I wrote that one. Just Cause, go ahead, get that one too. And then hold up the kids' catechism. All of these are, And come on, if you don't have it yet, get the kids' catechism, right? Have those things and use them. I am going to actually have you do something. We have 2 minutes left. I told you I'm going to use all of it. I want you to get into small groups and say one thing that we've talked about or that you just came to your mind that you guys can do as a family today to help connect your families with the church. And I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your body, because we cannot raise our children on our own. Thank you for the calling and purposes that you have on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.